Come on.
You're hilarious. I think the Lord's saying, Martin, it's time to write your book. Yeah, you've got amazing stories in your life, and wow.
Shika Banga, I'm going to start, remember?
Yeah.
we do stuff together, but we just decided I was going to start tonight. Shika Bungu. You might see me particularly do things tonight that you'd rather not do yourself. Just relax. Nobody, including heaven, is asking you to be like me. So just chill out, relax, enjoy the ride. However, it is a miracle that you get to survive when God touches you. Think about that for just a moment. My pastor, John Arnott, always says that the miracle is not that God touches you. The miracle is that when he does, you get to live through it. Hi-ya-ya! Sorry, I'm doing my best to contain God, and it's not very easy. You know that Job 36:26 says, "Behold, God is great, and we know him not. The numbers of his years are unsearchable." Come on, it's no surprise, is it, that if God was to touch us, like really touch us, our bodies really wouldn't be able to contain him. That's not a shock, is it, surely? The problem is that, wow, we're just so not used to it that we think that it's normal to just sit there, but it's actually not. In the kingdom of heaven, it's normal to be all over the place when God touches you. I'd like to invite you to stand for a moment. Whoa. And the Lord showed Kate and I one or two things that he particularly wants to do tonight before we get into the message. And so we're going to call out one or two things. And as we do that, the Holy Spirit's so faithful, he always backs it up because it's what he asked us to say in the first place. Whoa! So the good news tonight is that the kingdom of heaven is within our reach. And heaven is in this place, in this room. You can feel the presence of God. How many of you can feel the presence of God right now in this room? Yeah, that's a lot of people. That's awesome. So I want you to reach up right now, even if you can't feel it. Reach up by faith, as Ian was inviting us to do through the worship. But I want you to reconnect again. Reach up into heaven, into that glorious realm where nothing's impossible tonight. And grab a handful of the kingdom by faith. And pull it down right now and just rub it all over your body. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Whoa. Oh, just reach up one more time. Just close your eyes. Father, I thank you that you're here right now. Thank you for your kingdom that's manifest in this room right now. Kingdom of God, come in every body in this room. And will of our Heavenly Father be done in Jesus' name. We welcome heaven in this place. We welcome the Holy Spirit in this place. We welcome you, King Jesus, King of glory, in this place, in our hearts, in our lives. We welcome you, Heavenly Father. Thank you that you're the glorious, eternal God and King, seated upon your throne. From all of eternity and into all of eternity. And you never change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We welcome the angels of heaven into this place right now. All of the hosts of heaven, we welcome you all into this place right now. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Somebody with intense migraines, already been called out, but somebody with intense migraines, whatever you call them, intense, repeated headaches in your brain. They've been agonizing, so painful. Boom! In Jesus' name, we release healing virtue into your head. Liquid golden honey of the Father's love and healing virtue goes right into your head. And we command that demonic spirit of affliction to be gone from you in Jesus' name. Whoa, the Lord showed me that somebody with like a clicking jaw, TMJ, he wanted to heal you and he's healing you right now. Liquid golden honey is going into your jaw. Just open your jaw several times. You're going to see the clicking's gone. It's totally smooth. Perfect. Perfect. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody else has... I felt the Lord showing me that he's healing arthritis in this room. All across this room, people with joint pains. There's a number of you with significant joint pain. Well, healing virtue from King Jesus by the Holy Spirit goes right now into every one of your joints, especially in your fingers. And somebody particularly has been in excruciating pain, particularly in the middle finger of your right hand. And the Lord's healing you right now. Boom! I release healing virtue in Jesus' name. I command every afflicting spirit that would cause any joint pain to leave this room right now. The Lord showed me it's hands, shoulders, knees and toes. Heads, hands, shoulders, knees and toes. I felt the Lord saying ankles and feet in the metatarsals, pain in the metatarsals. When you get up in the morning, you step out of bed and there's pain in your metatarsals, in your bones, in your feet. The Lord's healing you right now. Somebody with plantar fasciitis is being healed right now. Just jump up and down on that foot. You're going to see that it's totally healed.
The Lord's showing me that somebody's had a problem with their left ear. There's an infection or there's some deafness there or an injury from work. I'm not sure what it is. God's wanting to heal that right now. And I also saw that somebody's had some groin strain, and I think it's on the right side. Somebody's been dealing with a groin strain that's been really bothering you, and the Lord wants to heal you right now.
Yes, somebody with a urinary infection, repeated urinary infections, and the Lord's healing you right now. You can literally feel that all that pain is leaving your body right now. Liquid golden honey goes in. Thank you, Lord. Shika banga. Thank you, Father. Whoa. Somebody with painful elbows, like tennis elbows. The Lord's healing you right now. And also, when I said knees, literally missing cartilage is being replaced in your knees right now. People that have had MCL problems, ACL problems, cruciate ligament problems, just check your knees right now. You're going to see that the Lord's healing you. Liquid golden honey goes into those knees. Thank you, Lord. And somebody with shin splints, it prevents you from running, gives you tremendous pain, and it's robbed you of so much joy. And I thank you, Lord, that healing virtue is flowing right now into those shins, bringing total healing. Thank you, Lord. Anything else, doll? All righty. Okay, how many of you had one of those conditions? It was you, and you felt something. Maybe you didn't feel something, but now you know you're healed. Irrespective, you know you're healed. Just wave at me right now across the room. Awesome. Look at that all across the room. That's amazing. Okay, if you have your hand up because you've just been healed, I want you to come out here to the front. The rest of you can sit down. Don't be shy. Don't get English on me now, okay? Come out here to the front. There was at least a dozen people, so I know who you are because I saw your hands go up. So come on out. Come on out. Awesome. There was somebody over here. Don't be shy. Come on over. Somebody over there, yeah. Come on over. Come on up. Come right up here to the front and turn around and face everybody, okay? Don't worry, I have to do it. So, and it's all right. It's easier than you think. Actually, it's not, but that's all right. That's awesome. Come on, honey.
Okay. Well, what did God do for you tonight?
I've had pain like in my head, my neck, my shoulder. But I think it's because when I was a baby, my brother dropped me on my head. So
that's that's not very nice.
And like I landed on the top of my head and my whole body went over to the side and I had a big massive crack in the back of my neck and it's bothered me all my life. And like I've forgiven my brother recently. And you know, I've been declaring God's truth over myself and I've been feeling, you know, feeling that the pain from my head and all that was left, it's like, you know, that bit there.
Just a little bit on the back of your shoulders.
Yeah.
Just there.
Like, yep. Red spinal cord goes down.
Yeah.
And that was the only place. Do you know, praise.
So, have you felt a difference just tonight?
Normally, like, if I go like that, you hear.
Yeah, nothing like
that. Do you know, I sound like a little old man. But I don't sound like a little old man no more.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And you forgave your brother as well. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Salvation.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Well, may this be a sign to him, too. And yeah.
Just say that you pray for salvation for your family.
Yeah.
Come on. What's their names?
It's the Burton clan.
Oh, what's your name?
Jenny, but my brother lives,
Jenny.
My brother lives in Florida.
Yeah.
Well, Jenny, I've got good news for you.
I know.
You're not an old man. You're a beautiful young lady. How's that? Right?
Yeah.
Okay, the Burton clan.
Yes.
All right, come on, everybody. Let's stand up and let's pray for the Burton clan. God's doing something very special right now in Jenny's family, in her body. Just release healing virtue into you, Jenny. Power of God comes into you. In Jesus' name, be completely well. Never in that pain ever again. We break the shock and trauma off of that moment. Your brother's forgiven. Whoa. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we bless the Burton clan. Don't we, everybody? And we agree for salvation to sweep through the whole household, the whole family in Jesus' name. Every one of them, including the bro over there in Florida, come home. We bless you, each one of you, with salvation. That the King of Glory would come in. Open up the ancient doors in the Burton clan and let the King of Glory come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord, mighty in battle. Shikabanga. We just bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. What's your name, young man?
Simon.
What happened then?
Got basically clicky jaw,
yeah.
Which has been getting worse over the last month, I would say. Driving my partner absolutely up the wall. It's loosened up.
Good.
It's still cracking, but it's a lot looser than it was. And the same with my knee, right knee.
Okay.
Builds up with fluid underneath and it sort of gives out every now and then.
Right.
A lot stronger.
And it's a lot stronger now?
Feeling it, yeah.
Good. I've
stood there like...
Abba. Do you know why I do that? Would you like to know why I do that? I'm ever so sorry, I've no idea. I made that joke for the longest time, and then the Holy Spirit said to me, because, you know, sometimes you might... see me go like that or make some noise like that. And I used to make this joke. Does anybody know why I do that? You know, and did that whole joke. And then the Lord just spoke to me a while back and he said, but you've never asked me why you do that. I'm like, well, that's a good point. Sorry, Lord. Why do I do that? And he said, more the point, why do you back me up when you do that? And he said, because... when you make those actions and you make those sounds, it's the visible, audible, tangible manifestation of your faith. And faith pleases me, and that's why I back you up. I mean, what else are you going to do? It's not me who heals them. I mean, I might as well, I don't know, pick my nose or something. That would be a bit unpleasant in public. But I mean, in a way, it doesn't matter what you do. In that sense, because it's not you who heals that person. It's Jesus. A friend of mine who does, you know, the Lord uses him for healing and big meetings and things. And he was saying the other day that, you know, the Lord used him powerfully on a Friday night. People got healed. It's dramatic. The next night, off he went again. Not a single person got healed. He got into bed that night in the hotel. He's like, Lord, ¿qué pasa? What the heck happened? And the Lord said, Lord, why didn't you heal tonight? And the Lord said, well, I, you were doing such a great job on Friday night, I thought I'd stand back and watch you do it again. It's a good lesson, isn't it? It's the Lord, not us. So, command that thing off of you. Check your jaw right now. Oh, I can hear that. That's nasty. Lord, whatever's causing that cracking, we command it to stop, and we break off all the generational curses off of him. We bless this jaw into perfect alignment, and we bless this, whatever cartilage is missing or whatever things are not there in the joints, we just command them to be present right now in Jesus' name. Okay, check it again.
Better put it still.
Go on, one more. Right. I'll tell you what, we're going to get some. Who really has faith for healing in this room? What guy has faith for healing? Right, go and sit right there, okay? And I'm going to ask you to soak him, okay? Do you know what that means, soak him? Just lay your hands on him and just bless him all night. Don't pray hard, just ask Holy Spirit to come. Well, good. All right.
Honey, do you want to?
Yeah. Let's move through. So what did God do for you?
My ear, I've had problems with it for as long as I can remember.
Wow.
You know, it fills up with fluid and then I can't hear. And then all of a sudden it just pops and drains and I can hear again. And you were talking about it tonight, you know, people with a hearing
yes.
problem.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I realised I could hear. So I'm just standing here.
Wow, praise God. That was for you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Wow. The Lord gave me that picture because it was you, and he knew that you'd been struggling with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, I've had prayer for it loads of times. It's not the first time.
No, but may that never return.
Yeah, in
Jesus' name.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Bless
yeah.
you. That's exciting.
Awesome.
Okay.
I've had the right knee, the back of my right knee, painful for on and off for a long time. And when Duncan prayed, it was like something wrapped around it. And then as I got up, I did feel a bit of pain, but it's not painful now.
Can you show us maybe what you couldn't do before that would have been painful? How's that?
That's good.
Amen. Do you want to do a little walk around the building?
Yeah.
Praise God. How is it still good?
Yes.
Praise God. Bless God. Thank you. What about you?
That lady, I've had an infection in my ear. And I'm almost deaf in that ear. So I thought, well, that could be me.
So has anything happened since I called that out? Okay. Well, we thank you, Father, for this word, for your daughter. What's your name?
Pat.
Thank you, Lord, that you took all her sickness and this ear infections and deafness at the cross, and we command it to leave you right now. This doesn't belong to you. And we command healing in Jesus' name.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
Kingdom of God, just flow through Pat's body right now. We just agree together, don't we? There's no sickness in the kingdom. In heaven, everyone's made well. And we just release healing right now into your ear. Every infection. And we break off any generational curses off you. If it's run down in your family line, we say no in Jesus' name. And we just sever that tie in Jesus' name, and we release the healing. Amen.
Put your right finger tight.
I've got my hearing aid in.
Oh, you got. Would it be embarrassing to take your hearing aid out? Tight.
Yes, I can hear it slightly. Not totally deaf, but
put your finger in that ear. Step forward, Pat. Pat, take another step forward. Pat, can you hear me? Pat.
Can you hear that, Pat?
Very faintly.
Very faintly. Well, that's all right. Put that other finger in there really tight. I'm only doing what Jesus did. Pat, can you hear that? Pat, can you hear that? That's good, isn't it? Pat, I was just whispering.
Yes, I know.
Come on, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. See, it's no wonder Jesus spat on his finger. It works. That's a joke, everybody. Okay, I'm sorry. I like having fun. All right, honey.
Okay, what was going on with you?
Well, the Lord healed me of something quite serious at Christmas. But I think they were a bit rough with me in the hospital and they hurt my back a bit. So as a result of that, I've got the nerve. I've got injury in my back anyway. I've had it for years. And I think the nerve, it affected my feet and I've got nerve damage in my feet.
Nerve damage in your feet? Both feet?
Yeah. I just think the enemy is so cross at me getting healed. He just thought he would have a go at my feet.
So did anything happen?
He's not getting away with it.
Did anything happen tonight, Pat, when the word was called?
I couldn't move them. I was sitting there and I was going, oh, his feet don't start tonight. I want to hear what Duncan has to say. And when he said, it was just, honestly, there's just nothing, no pain at all.
And is the pain gone now,
Pat? Yeah, it has. It's too, like this here and everything like that.
Can you do a little dance for us?
Do you want me to do a dance? It's not.
We have to test it. No pain?
No.
Oh, praise God. Let's give God a hand. Thank you, Jesus. That's wonderful. God's good. Oh, thank you. Bless you. What about you?
I came here very excited tonight. And the word excited came up. But you've specified about middle finger right hand, which I've had like an arthritic lump. But one of the main things, I was at Rick Joyner's Morning Star about 3 weeks ago, and I had a bad accident about 4 years ago, which broke my hip. And I've been aware that it's not been mine, but at that conference, they said bones are going to be healed. It wasn't a healing conference, it was a random statement. And God has healed that. But walking funny for 4 years, I've had pains in other parts. And when you said about like arthritis or pains, I feel that God's healed that as well as this. And I'm just rejoicing because my ministry is healing. And I just came expectant.
Oh, good. So is there any pain that you're feeling now?
No.
The pain's gone now? The
pain's gone and my whole body feels to have properly aligned.
Come on. Come on, let's have a little walk. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Oh, another jig. Woo! Thank you. Wow. I tell you.
So I went into the restroom, the loo, call it a restroom in America. Well, I went into, fill her up, Daddy. Went into the restroom, and I go to wash my hands, and suddenly this incredibly intense pain shoots into this finger. And I don't have pain ever in this finger. And I'm like, what in the world? I rebuked that pain. I'm thinking all that. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, it's a word of knowledge. I want to heal somebody who's got that pain in their finger. So, the reason I'm telling you that is so that you know that Jesus is amazing. And he wants to do the same through each of you. How many of you have been minding your own business in life, and all of a sudden,
some random pain comes on you and you feel it and you're like, oh no, and you think it's you, but it's not. What if the Holy Spirit is showing you that he wants to heal somebody right there in that room or somebody you're about to go and meet? And all when, so when you get that little bit of pain, okay, remember that. Try to remember that. And say to the Holy Spirit, oh, whoa, that's not, this isn't my pain. This is something that you're showing me. Okay, Lord, who do you want me to heal? Who do you want to heal through me? And it might be the waiter or the waitress. It might be, you know, the person in the grocery store. It might even be your boss at work, right? Now, how'd you go about saying to your boss at work, I'd like to heal you? Yeah, it's not going to go down very well, is it? You know, but you might like to say, hey, boss, I know this might sound a bit odd, but do you have pain in your elbow? And she'll be like, how do you know that? Well, it's just that I think God might have just shown me that he wants to heal you because I felt your pain. Would you mind if I make an opportunity for God to do something right now in your elbow and heal you? Now, there's not many people that are in a lot of pain that will tell you no thanks. There are some, they're that proud, they don't want God to touch them in the midst of their worst pain. But, and that's okay. If that's what they want, that's okay. Just move on. It's not you. Don't you feel like, you know, don't you get all miserable that you've been rejected. You haven't been rejected. The Lord's been rejected, not you. And he's quite used to it. So, shikabanga, just step up and minister healing. That's good. All right.
Oh, okay. What did God do tonight?
It's the jaw as well. I had it prayed for before, and I had about 80% healing. And it's just, for ages, it's been frustrating. I've been praying about it a few times, thinking, why didn't you just heal me completely, God? And I was praying about it. It sort of came back into my mind again during the worship. I was like, God, I really... And then when he called it out, I was like, yeah, I want to... And it's, I would say it's about 90% now. But I'm just... Because you've called it out, I'm believing, you know. Yeah. I've got the rest of it, so...
Yeah, come on, in Jesus' name, release the healing right now. Yeah. Off this jaw and this side. Which side is it particularly? Is it your left? Okay, in Jesus' name, we just put the anointing... Thank you, Lord. Your anointing that's just it. Goes in right now. Yeah. Wow. You can rest in that.
Anybody walking by will think we're teaching them how to be a goldfish.
Yeah, it's mostly better, but there's still a bit of a... Something that's not quite right.
Well, mostly is incredible because mostly is impossible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, I totally believe it's going to go. That's why I
Come on, one more time.
Yeah.
In it goes, the anointing goes right in. What's your name, son?
Stephen.
Right into Stephen's jaw. Holy Spirit, complete alignment in Jesus' mighty name.
Maybe.
How does it feel? Don't be under any pressure to say it's totally healed, unless it is.
I think it's difficult to tell, because it's been like that for so long. It's difficult for me to know, like, obviously if you start, like, twisting it about, it's going to click anyway.
Right,
if you know what I mean.
Right,
so,
yeah.
So I'm not quite sure. In some ways...
Take the anointing, Stephen.
Come on, Daddy.
Thank you.
It's definitely loads better before than what it was when I came in tonight.
Come on.
Praise God. Right. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, that's good. And the rest of the 5 or 10% we'll put down to the fact that I'm still learning. How's that? It's not your fault. All right? We'll put it down to the fact that I'm still learning. Bless you. That's awesome. Thank you, Lord. Let's give Jesus a hand. Cool. Come on over here, you three. Let's go over here.
Okay, what did God do tonight for you?
Well, in November, I got diagnosed with a brain condition, and it affected 80% of my sight. But I was miraculously healed, 100% healed.
Wow. You got healed here? Yeah. Praise God. Wow.
Yeah, but ironically, over the past, I'd say, 4 days, I've been getting really bad headaches again. Mm-hmm. And, like, the pressure, I could feel it, like, almost building up. And, like, my eyesight was gone again. I was, like, really, like, scared because it's mm-hmm. awful. I was like, oh, Lord, please don't let it come back. And then as you were praying for it there with all the migraines, that's what it's like, but a million times worse. I really felt like a massive heat coming over me. And I don't have a headache, and I won't really know about my sight until as time goes on, but I've got no headaches at all.
Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Wow, that condition never comes back. What's your name, sweetheart? Beth. Thank you, Father. Thank you for complete healing, that condition. And we rebuke that fear in Jesus' name too. Yeah. Never comes back. We just release the anointing right over your brain right now, right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just come and fill Beth. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Whoa, more, Lord. Yeah, we do. Every generational curse. Set you free, Beth. You're free. You're free. You're free. We bless you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Yeah, fill the Lord. Wow, he's giving you a really good fill right now. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, more, Lord. More Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
We bless what you're doing. Yeah, we bless what you're doing right now. Thank you, Lord.
We put that healing balm right over Beth's head and her brain. And we say no to every work of the enemy. The thief will no longer steal, kill, and destroy. But you, Lord Jesus Christ, will give life, abundant life, long, abundant life, in Jesus' name, to your beloved daughter. Fire on her, Holy Spirit.
And I think, Beth, that he wants you to know that he doesn't want you to believe the lies.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's not dependent on you, you know, when you fail and... You know, you're not going to be punished for it, you know. So, Father, I just pray for Beth, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And for every lie that she's believed, that it depends upon her and her performance and what she does and what she doesn't do, it's not true. That Jesus has forgiven you for everything and that you're washed and cleansed and it's not depending upon you. You don't have to believe any lie. And that Jesus heals you in his name, in the name of Jesus, and it's complete in the name of Jesus. Never to return in the name of Jesus, Beth.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Bless Beth.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Fire on her, Holy Spirit. Fire on her fiery head.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Beautiful hair.
That's right.
Just gorgeous. Daddy's beautiful daughter.
Oh.
Amazing. I know if I was your heavenly daddy, I'd really love you. Awesome.
Bless you, Beth.
Awesome. Enjoy your hair.
Can you come over? Hi. What did God do for you tonight?
Healed the ear, left ear.
Yeah?
I had for about a week, I've had an infection just in the outer ear, and it was very numb for this hearing, and that's gone now.
You can feel it again now?
Yeah, I can't feel any pain. No, it's all gone.
Just now? This evening? Praise God. Wow. Glory to God. That's wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Three ears. It's amazing.
Come on, honey.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
bless you. Yeah. And last but no means least, what did God do for you tonight?
It wasn't tonight. I've had arthritis in my fingers for absolutely years, and they're all like a little periscope. But when you called out about the, you know, bent and swollen fingers of arthritis, years ago God said to me, he's going to heal me at a meeting. And I've never known when it was, and I thought, you know, if I didn't come forward for prayer, I'd be stupid.
Oh, yes. Come on. That was a word of faith for you, wasn't it, tonight? Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your favorite son. What's your name, son?
Ricky.
Ricky. Awesome. Oh, Daddy, I thank you so much for your son, Ricky. Thank you that you love him. Thank you that you love him with an everlasting love. And thank you that it's your will for him to be completely healed now. And not for him to suffer with this condition, this devilish thing of arthritis that's stealing, killing, and destroying in his joints. Be loosed and be free and be delivered and be healed in Jesus' mighty name. Right, let's have a look. Any different? Not yet. All right. Now, Ricky, I can't do this. You can't do this. And there's not a single person in here, even the medical team, couldn't do it. But there is somebody in this room who can do it. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he's here by the Holy Spirit. And he's the God of the impossible, and he delights to heal. So, we lean back into our Heavenly Daddy's arms. Ricky, lean back into Heavenly Daddy's arms and receive that gift of healing right now. In Jesus' name. Oh. Well, yes, it all goes in Jesus' name. All right. Okay, who's got faith for healing in this room? What, I'd like a guy who's got faith for healing in this room. All right. See that young man back there with the British flag on his top? I want you to go and sit with him and let him soak you for a few minutes, okay? All right. Let's have a look at your hand. How's it going? Any different? Still all bent. There's no pain. Was there pain before?
When I was clenching my fist, I was walking up. This knuckle, I normally gets quite swollen. There's no pain there, but obviously it's a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, well, good. Well, thank you, Jesus, that the pain's going. And go back and sit. What's your name, young man? Right? That was the right choice. All right, cool.
Thanks.
All righty, good. Okay. You know, the Lord spoke to us a few years ago, and he just showed us that he wanted us to make room for him to do things and not just for us to get up and preach, okay? So, in fact, he said, you've preached too many sermons and done too few miracles. So I've been trying to switch that around a little bit. And it's amazing, you know, it's amazing, Martin. If we don't make room, he rarely does anything. I've rarely known him to heal somebody while I've been preaching. I mean, it can happen. But if I make room, it's like 100% greater level of opportunity for the Holy Spirit to move. So it kind of impinges on the amount of time that I have to preach, but it's so worth it, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Because it's all about Jesus anyway. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 15. I feel like the Holy Spirit has laid something on my heart from his heart for you all as a church. By the way, if my accent is a little muddled up, it's because I was born in Nigeria to British parents. And I speak fluent Hausa. Is there anybody in the room that speaks Hausa? Kunaji Hausa! Gadang gadang kawi! Anhai fekua Nigeria ko? Were you born in Nigeria? Ah, you're Nigerian? You're my brother and sister. Shaka Bongo.
To anhai feni a jos. Na zama a wurin har lokaci da anhai feni har lokaci da ina shikara goma sha takwas. Kana ji abinda ina ce maka? Kadan kadan. Are you Igbo? Yoruba? Yoruba. I love it. Oh, I'm so blessed by you guys. I'd love to see you afterwards and we'll just chat a little bit. Yeah, maybe one day we'll eat jollof rice together or something. Huh? What about agusi soup or something like that? Or, okay. Awesome. Pepe soup. Oh. In the name of Jesus. So I grew up in Nigeria till I was 18 years old. It'd be a lot less confusing if God had given me the grace of having black skin. He didn't. He made me white. It's been such a confusing thing for me and for everybody, because really I'm a Nigerian trapped inside of a white skin. And it's hilarious when I go to Nigeria, especially northern Nigeria, and I speak fluent Hausa without any accent at all, and it just shocks everybody. I'm not used to that. But then my parents, who are British, they came back to England, and I came when I was 18 and met Kate and married my beautiful wife. And then we were over in Toronto because we're glory chasers. We just love the presence of God, and we're fanatical for the kingdom of heaven. And we heard about this revival going on, raging in Toronto, and we just knew we had to go. And so we went. And while we were there, God spoke to the senior pastor, John Arnott, and said to him in his heart, that's the tall Englishman that I told you would be your first executive director 2 years ago. That's him right there. Go and ask him. For lunch. And I was 32 years old, completely wet behind the ears, had no clue what I was doing. I just loved Jesus with all my heart. And God had taken us on a very convoluted journey of a lot of dying to our calling and dying to ministry and just a lot of dying, basically. Because God can't resurrect something that's still alive. You actually have to be dead to be resurrected. Now, we're not talking physical death, okay? But we're talking about spiritually. And God just did an incredible resurrection on Kate and I, because having died to ministry and having, you know, been tucked away on our family farm for years and years, knowing that God had called me to be a preacher. And in fact, I'd started preaching beforehand and was a crusade evangelist. Doing large-scale evangelism, working for a big evangelist. And I thought, this is it. I'm on my way. Yeah! 26 years old, and I'm preaching to 30,000 people and plus. And God was doing amazing miracles and so on and so forth. And I can remember sitting on the airplane on the way back from Ghana. I went to this particular trip to Ghana, and I'm flying back on the airplane, and we'd had a phenomenal time. And I can remember saying to the Lord, Lord, you know, that was awesome. The Lord used me to see a boy, minister to a boy, 9 years old, who'd been paralyzed from the waist downwards since he was just a few months old, because his sister dropped him out of a tree. And he was totally paralyzed from the waist downwards. And he started moving his legs. And then his mum brought him up, and his legs were like elastic bands. They weren't holding him up in any way. And she's screaming, he's healed. And I'm thinking, because I didn't know the story, I'm thinking, he's anything but healed. What are you talking about? You just want to get up on the platform, woman, you know? And the lady told the story real quick and said he totally couldn't feel a thing and hadn't moved. And here he is now moving his legs. And I snapped out of my, you know, criticalness in a split second. And I said to this boy, I command you in the name of Jesus to walk. I was 26. I was obnoxiously excitable. And this boy, he just started like that. It's the only way I can describe it. And I was going backwards like this, and then I had to take off. I was at the back behind the platform. I had to take off running forwards because he started chasing me. And then we're playing tag at the back. And his mum's screaming. Everybody's going ballistic at the back. There's a big crowd of probably 3,000 or 4,000 people just at the back. And everybody's going ballistic. And we got him up on the platform. And his legs went from like wasted stick thin to normal legs of a boy, a 9-year-old boy. And so I'm sitting on the aeroplane and I'm reflecting on all of this. And I'd seen the first blind person healed and this paralyzed boy. And we'd seen thousands and thousands of people turn away from Islam and give their lives to Jesus. And it was just epic. And I said to the Lord, "Lord, you know, you must be pretty proud of your son, you know, because we did good together, didn't we, you know?" And I felt the Lord say, "Well, actually, son, I'd like you to die to your ministry." And I'm like, I didn't just hear that. No. No. I'm just getting going. No, Lord. No. No! And he, you know, I prayed for a month and he never changed his mind. And finally, I told Kate what the Lord had told me. And she said, "Yeah, I agree with you, Dunk. I really believe that's right from the Lord." And I thought, I knew I shouldn't have told you. And because I knew she hears from the Lord. And I ended up going farming for 4 years in Oxfordshire, and nobody looking. And ended up having the best 4 years of my life, to be honest, because I met God in a really incredible way. And I found out that, I mean, one day I was sweeping in our barn for the umpteenth time. My uncle, every morning, would say to me, at 7:30 when I started, my uncle would say to me, Okay, Duncan, go sweep that barn out, the tractor shed. But Uncle Richard, I did that yesterday. Yeah, I know, but just go sweep that barn out. And that barn was about, I don't know, maybe 3 times as big as this room with one brush. And I'm 26. And then I decided pretty early on that if I was going to sweep that barn, I was going to sweep it for Jesus. Even if my uncle didn't ever check it, it seemed like. I learned a really big lesson. Everything that we do can be worship if we do it with the right heart. And we fix our eyes on Jesus. And I was like, I mean, I swept that barn as though there were 30,000 people watching me. And one day the Holy Spirit came into the barn. And I felt his presence like a whirlwind around me. And I can't remember exactly how he said it, but it was something like this. "Duncan, I love it that I finally have you to myself. You've been so preoccupied with everybody else. But now, after all these months on your own, I've got you to myself. And I love you. I want you to know that I really love you. In fact, I want you to know, is it okay to come in front of these speakers or not?" Sometimes they give feedback and stuff. And he said, "I want you to know that you bring as much glory to me sweeping this barn with the right heart and the right attitude as you did when you were preaching to 30, 40, 50,000 people." And I was like, "You what? That's ridiculous. How can that be right?" And then he said to me, "I want you to know, son, that I don't actually need you to get the job done of saving the world." Well, I thought that was outrageous. I'm like, "Are you kidding? You do? I grew up as a missionary kid, hearing my dad and many others preaching, 'The Lord needs you.
you're his answer to sending workers to the harvest fields and all this stuff. And, you know, heaven's looking for you. Whom shall I send? Send me. You know, all those messages. How many of you have heard those kinds of messages? Yeah, that was my whole insides. And when God told me that he didn't need me to get the job done, it shocked me. Because I thought he did. With the emphasis on the me. In fact, I was so desperate to preach after the first year. I came back from church with Kate, 27 now. Haven't preached for a year. And I used to preach all the time. And I came back from church with Kate. We're walking up on the, across the fields with our little kids. They're 22 and we're about to become grandparents. I just found out. Our eldest is pregnant. Yay! Come on! It makes sense of all the grey hair I see in the mirror now these days, you know? Anyway, they were that lunch. Now they're 22, 20, and 19. Three girls. Hard to imagine that, you know, one's married and about to have a baby. In, well, not about to have, we're going to have a baby in December. And the other two, she's finished university already. The other two are about to go off to university. And, but back then, they were just like this. In fact, the littlest wasn't even born. And Kate goes, honey, if you're that, I mean, she was just fed up of me moaning. And she's like, honey, if it's that bad, why don't you preach to your cows? And there was this herd of, and we had 300 Jerseys at that time, okay? You know what Jersey cows are? They're the cute little brown ones with the little black noses and the sweet little faces and huge eyelashes. I mean, not eyebrows. That would look weird. But eyelashes. And they're out there in the field. And they're, you know, they're chewing the cud and eating grass and whatnot. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do that. So I jump up and I'm on the second rung, feet on the second rung, second to top rung, and I've got my shins against the top rung. And I said, you Jersey cows, hear the word of the Lord. The good news is that the kingdom of heaven is within your reach. Reach up your hooves. No, I didn't really say that. That's just a joke. I'm preacher's license there. But I just started preaching. I just went for it. Well, wouldn't you know? Slowly but surely, every one of those cows started walking over towards us. And then they ended up fanning all the way around in a big semicircle, like with their faces turned inwards, all lined up like that. And they're all like... And the crazy thing was, they all looked more intelligent than I did. Anyway, I thank God for that time because it made me realize that I can't, only Jesus can. But I realized as well that he won't if we don't, but he will if we do. But we got to get it first. We have to have the consciousness of Christ first, that it's all about him and not us. And yet in the goodness of him, he absolutely wants us to use us, and he wants us to literally behave as though we're him in this world and manifest his glory and his presence and his power to the world around us. And you and I are as good news to the world as Jesus is, because we carry Jesus on the inside. We manifest him. So Luke 15, Jesus tells three parables in the chapter of Luke 15, and you'll be pleased to know we're not going to look at all three. So just relax. The first one is the parable of the lost sheep. The second one is the parable of the lost coin. Okay. Does anybody have a pound coin that I can borrow? You do have one because I saw it was in your purse when we went to the shops earlier. Don't you be hiding money from your husband. Thank you very much. Thanks, Paul. Shaka bongo. Oh. In your dreams. Anyway.
Okay, thank you, Paul. The second parable is a parable about a woman who lost a coin. And the third parable is a parable about a dad who lost both sons. And we're not going to go into the story of the parable of the lost sons. And by the way, it really is lost sons, not just the lost son. Both of them, the oldest and the youngest, for those of you who are familiar with the scriptures, you'll know that both of those boys were lost. One was lost because he left home, and the other was lost because even though he was at home, he'd left the heart of his dad. But we're gonna read the first two parables. Verse 1. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. I want you to notice how different that is to what we experience today. It seems to me that lost people don't really generally tend to go looking for the church because they're just so attracted to Jesus, they just can't keep away from the church. Have you noticed that? But that wasn't how Jesus was. Jesus was quite different to what the church looks like today. I'm not talking about amazing church, because the Amazing Grace Church, like our church, is truly amazing. It actually really is. And you all are amazing. And in fact, you're amazing enough that a whole bunch of lost people are already attracted to you and are getting saved regularly. And I love that. But the majority of the church in the UK is not that attractive to a lot of people that are lost. But Jesus is always mega attractive to the lost. He's the real deal. And when they see the real Jesus in us, they want him. Just like these people. All the unlikely people, the ones that all the religious people rejected, they all drew near to Jesus to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he's found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing." Well, it used to be the favorite thing that I could ever do would have a shoulder ride on my dad's shoulders. How many of you ever had a shoulder ride on your dad's shoulders? Go on, put your hands up. Don't be shy. Wasn't that the best feeling ever? Oh, I loved it. I put my hands right there on top of his bald head. I'll be there. I loved it. I just loved it. I felt so tall, powerful. Man, it was amazing. I knew I was safe on my dad's shoulders. I love the fact that Jesus says that he put the sheep on his shoulders. What a beautiful image. Every one of us have had a shoulder ride from our heavenly daddy if we're saved. And some of you have just been saved recently. Some of you have been saved a long time ago. But I tell you what, there's a place that we can live where we get a shoulder ride with our heavenly daddy every single day. All we have to do is say, "Pick me, pick me, pick me up." That's how you got it on earth. And when he comes home, he calls together all his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." Or what, verse 8, or what woman, everyone say a woman. What woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the whole house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she's found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I found the coin which was lost." And likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Now, we always think, right, that it's the angels who rejoice when somebody gets saved because of this scripture. But we're not reading it properly. It says that there's joy in the presence of the angels. It doesn't say the angels are rejoicing. It says that there's someone rejoicing in the presence of the angels. You know who that is? Your heavenly daddy and my heavenly daddy. He's been rejoicing over you since before time even began. Long before he ever said, "Let there be light," he knew that you were going to get saved. He knew that you were going to be born. And he's been excited about you and your day from before time began. And he's been carrying you on his shoulders ever since. Now, I want to just draw a couple of points out. It says, then he said, a certain man, verse 11, had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me." So he divided to them his livelihood, and the story goes on. And so we see that there's three stories, three parables that help us to see the heart of God towards the lost. And we see that the heart of God towards the lost is that God wants them found. He's a dad who wants to find everything that he's lost. And he always does. He never fails to find what's lost. Now, the first one is a lost sheep. The second one is a lost coin. And the third one is two lost sons. But why a sheep, a coin, and two sons? Why didn't he just tell the story of the two sons? Why did he have to tell the story of the sheep? Why did he have to tell the story of the coin? I mean, after all, it's a weird thing that he would choose a sheep, a coin, and two boys to help us understand how much our heavenly daddy wants to make sure we're found. And not just make sure that we're found, the fact that he's found us. Well, you see, a sheep doesn't know how to deliberately get lost. But a sheep does know that it's not where it's supposed to be when it suddenly realizes that life's not all about grass. And that actually, all of a sudden, it's cold. It's perhaps wet, but it's definitely on its own. And it can't see any of its friends, can't see any of its sheep. There's no sheepies anywhere. It's just on its own. And a sheep has a voice. And a sheep, when it realizes, it might not know that it's lost, but it realizes there's no other sheep around me. That sheep can lift up its voice and help that shepherd find it. And I know because I've worked with a lot of sheep. I've worked with way too many sheep. I'm talking four-legged woolly ones. To thoroughly put me off ever being a pastor. That's just a joke. Relax, don't get tense. But seriously, sheep can really lift up their voice. I mean, they've got every different style you could think of. Loud, quiet, high-pitched, low-pitched, bass, you name it. They've got it. And they'll try every one of those various octaves so they can be found. The boys can think. The boys have consciousness. The boys know that they're lost. In fact, the boys can even deliberately get lost. They can deliberately choose to get lost. And like the story of the parable of the lost sons, the youngest son that went off on his own and he ends up squandering everything and sells himself to the citizen of a foreign land and ends up in the pig pen and he can't even eat the pig pods that the pigs are given to eat. And it says that he came to his senses and he remembered his father. And he says, what among all of my, which one of my servants, of all of my dad's hired servants, doesn't have enough food to eat? And here I am, starving, hungry. I can't even eat the pig pods. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back to my dad. And then he even rehearsed what he was going to say to his dad so that his dad accepted him. Why? Because he had a brain. And a personality and the gift of sense. But a coin has nada. Not a voice, not a brain, has nothing to help the owner of the coin ever find it. That coin that this woman lost that was in her house somewhere, we don't know where it was. Jesus doesn't tell us where it was. In fact, the woman didn't know where it was. And the coin could do nothing to help the woman find the coin. I'm over here! Hello! Can I come home? Will you forgive me? I'm so sorry. I'm sorry for running away. Totally lost. No voice. No conscious knowledge that it's lost. Nothing to help itself be found. Why did Jesus say the parable of a lost coin? Because every single one of us, he considers us to be as completely helpless at helping him find us as a coin is for the woman to find the coin. That's how much he loves us. After all, everybody, we're talking about an intellect that's so powerful and so phenomenal that he can create infinite numbers of snowflakes and not one of them is ever repeated. He holds the entire universe in the span of his hand. He's made every single human being and not one single person looks the same. Not one is a repeat. Not one is a clone. Every star, the Bible says that he knows every single star in the galaxies and the universes, and he knows each one of them by name, and not one of them's missing. Hello? Apparently, he's fairly large intellect. And this awesome, awesome creator, who's our dad, who's made us, recognizes that compared to him and his infinite wisdom and knowledge and foresight and insight and understanding and perception and so on and so forth and conscious thought, that we, compared to him, are about as capable of thought as a copper coin or a silver coin or a gold coin is at thinking for itself. And he's so convinced of our inadequacy at helping him find us that he treats us like that woman treated that coin. She took the full responsibility for, number one, that it was lost, and number two, for making sure she found it. And she put no responsibility whatsoever on that coin to find itself or to help her find it. Come on. Come on, that gets me excited. That gets me excited because I realize that there's an awful lot of hope for this world. There's a lot of hope for every single one of us. Because every single one of us in this room are no better than the other. We're no better than each other. We're all the same. We're a bunch of incredibly valuable, precious coins that can't even think for themselves in the presence of an infinite God, who loves us so much and values us so much that the fact that we're lost, he takes it as his responsibility and he says, I'm going to make sure I give myself no rest. I'm like that woman. I'm going to clean the whole house until I find her. There it is. Oh, hello, my little one. And I have a pop you just there. Yeah. I'm never, ever losing you again. I love you. You're in my pocket forever. Wish I had a top pocket in this shirt, because that's where we really are. We're in our dad's top pocket in his heart of love forever. Come on. How many of you are grateful that God considered you so irresponsible and so hopeless at helping him find you that he came looking for you regardless? And even though you'd given him every good reason to consider you thoroughly disqualified for eternity of love with him, he turned a blind eye to that. And instead he sent his son Jesus to pay the price in full at the cross, to pay the debt that we owe him and fully satisfy the eternal wrath of God. People are like, what do you mean the eternal wrath of God? Well, God is pretty upset that you have spent your life on earth being hurt by other human beings, because you're so precious to him, he can't stand the fact that people have hurt you your whole life. And he's flat out mad about that. He's very upset that people have insulted you, cursed you, been unkind to you, lost their temper with you. Some people have even been physically and sexually and emotionally abused. God's not happy about that. You're his beloved. You're his treasured possession. He's so mad about that. He says they're going to have to pay for that. They're going to pay with an eternity in the fire of hell for what they did to you. But the problem is, he'd have to do the same to you for doing the same things to all the other apples of his eye, all the other treasures that he considers equally his treasure. And I'm so glad that God knew all along that he was going to come and fully satisfy that conundrum of sin. What to do with all the people that have hurt you and make them pay for it with their lives, and what to do with you for doing the same to all the others and make you pay for it with your life. And he says, no, I'm going to step in. I'm going to become one with them. I'm going to die on the cross. I'm going to take the death that they deserve. I'm going to take the punishment they deserve. And I'm going to live the only life on earth that actually is a perfect life. And I'm going to live so perfectly that death won't be able to hold on to me when I die. When I pay the price in full, death will not be able to hold on to me, and I am going to triumph on their behalf and my behalf, and I'm going to liberate them forever from the consequences of their sin, which is eternal death. And instead, they're going to live with me forever in love, each one knowing that each one is saved by that gracious love, by that amazing grace. Come on! And he came and he stepped in and he did exactly that, so that he could rescue all the so that he could satisfy the just punishment that everybody deserves for making you a victim of sin. And also, the just justice would be satisfied that you are a perpetrator of a lifetime of your own sin. And he became both the victim and the perpetrator at the cross and satisfied it in full. Woo! The Son of God became the Son of Man so that the sons of men could become the sons of God. And he says, I love you. You're forever found. Perfect in my sight forever. Never lose you again. Now, if you're in this room tonight and you've never given your life to Jesus, Jesus has given his life to you. And he's looking for you. And he loves you. And you're not lost anymore. Congratulations! You've been found tonight. And all you have to do is say this simple prayer with me tonight. Let's pray together. Just close your eyes and pray for a moment out of respect for each other. If you're here tonight and you've never given your life to Jesus, you make this prayer yours. Because the reality is, without ever making this prayer and without ever turning to Jesus, you will have to spend eternity facing the consequences of all the things that you've done to others and to God. Just say this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus Christ,
I realize tonight that I've really screwed my life up. I've hurt a lot of people. I've hurt myself. And I've hurt you. And I owe a debt that I can never pay. In fact, it's true. I've really hurt other people. And I need you to save me. And I thank you with all my heart that you gave your life for me. And 2,000 years ago, you paid the full price of the debt of my sin that I owed God. You paid it for me. And I thank you for that with all my heart. I didn't have a perfect life to give God, but you became that life for me. And you gave God your perfect life in exchange for my imperfect one. And I believe in you, Lord Jesus. I surrender my heart to you, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart. Tonight I open my heart to you. Come into my life and be my God. Be the king that you are. But tonight I believe that you are my king. And I surrender my life to you. I love you and I'll follow you for the rest of my life. Help me and fill me with your very spirit. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Now, if you just prayed that prayer, we believe that you are born again, born of the Spirit. And you've been found like that little lost coin. And you've been tucked into your Heavenly Daddy's pocket. Is there anybody who prayed that prayer for the first time? Or maybe you're just coming back to Jesus. Anybody in this room? All right. Well, I want to ask one question before we go tonight, and then I want to pray for all of you, not individually, unless you want me to. But I'm definitely going to pray for everybody who wants to come forward and receive the anointing that's on this message. Because I want to ask you a question before we go tonight. Why a woman? Why didn't Jesus say there was a man who'd lost a coin? He had 10 coins and he lost a coin. Why did he say a woman had 10 coins and losing one of them, she swept her whole house clean? Well, because only women should sweep houses. I can't believe he said that. That was a joke. Kate says because women should look after the money. Anyway, that's just a joke, everybody. Just relax, okay? I totally sweep our house. Occasionally. And that's not because I'm a bloke. It's just because I'm forgetful. I'd do it more if I thought of it, doll. Just keep reminding me, all right? Now, being serious again. Why a woman? Well, I feel like there's a message in this parable for us tonight. Because I believe that it was deliberate that Jesus chose a woman. Because I think that we're, as the church, we're likened to a woman. We're the bride of Christ, aren't we? Right? And I think that there's an incredible invitation in this parable for us as the church. And our Heavenly Daddy, through His Son, speaking this parable by the Holy Spirit, is speaking to us tonight and saying, is there anybody that will be willing, as the bride of Christ, to be like this woman and to give themselves no rest than to sweep the whole of this city and all of these cities and townships in this whole northeastern region? Is there anybody that's willing to spend their life sweeping this region in every dark and light corner to find my little lost coins that are so hopeless and helpless at finding themselves or helping me find them, that I need you to go find them for me? Is there anybody willing? Anybody who want to give their whole life to serving Jesus as His precious bride and picking up your sweeping brush of the Holy Spirit and going out into your world, into your schools, into your universities, into your workplaces, into even your churches and into the Costa and Starbucks and all the other coffee shops that, thank God, are finally popping up all over the place in England so that we have some decent coffee, although it will be really good when we go to the next level and actually get a bunch of gourmet coffee shops. Or maybe they already are here, I just haven't found them yet, right? But nevertheless,
Nevertheless, how many of you are willing to lay down your life like this woman and pay the price to find Daddy's little lost coins? Because he's looking for you tonight. He's looking for you to be willing to pick up your broom of prayer, cooperating with the Holy Spirit. It says she held a light. The Holy Spirit is that light in your life that will show you where every little lost coin is in the darkness hidden. Hallelujah. Shikabanga. If that's, why don't we all stand up tonight? How many of you are ready to go treasure hunting? Give your life and spend your life sweeping your neighborhoods, shining your light on your sphere of influence, looking for the lost treasure, those little lost ones that Daddy knows are so lost. You see, there are some people that you're going to meet, and you're going to meet them, and they'll be bleating away like a little lost lamb. And they'll tell you how terrible their life is, how awful it is, and you're going to have the answer. You'll be able to tell them, well, come home to Jesus. I'm going to give you a shoulder ride all the way to Jesus. In fact, you don't even need to try to come in yourself. I'm going to carry you all the way home. In inverted commas. In a figure of speech. But then there are some of your friends and family. They're going to be able to come to their senses on their own. They're going to be able to figure out for themselves, I'm so lost. I've wasted everything. I've done it all. I've done drugs. I've overspent on my credit cards. I've got my Mercedes Benz. I've got my BMW. And my life's screwed up. I'm lonely. I don't have any friends anymore that I can trust. I've been rejected. I've been hurt. My whole life's a mess. I desperately need Jesus. And they'll tell you, I want to come to church with you. How do I find Jesus? They're like those boys that can come to their senses. But then there are some of your friends and family. They're so lost, they don't even know they're lost. They're in complete, total, ignorant darkness. They don't even know. No way of helping. No way of finding a way home. The only way is your prayers and your witness and most of all, your love. Your love. Your love. Your tender loving kindness. If you tonight want to give your life like this woman to finding Daddy's lost treasure, I want you to come out here up to the front and just fill this whole area and we'll push some of the chairs back. Just come on out, just unashamedly. Press past your friend and say, excuse me, I'm sorry, I've got business to do with God tonight. And just come out here to the front. And God's going to start just downloading. That's good. Keep coming out. Come sideways, okay? Once you come up to the front, step sideways into a space. That's good. That's good. Well done. Well done. Keep coming. Move across sideways, okay, guys? Because we've still got some more folks in the back here that I want to come right up. That's it. Keep making room for those that are coming forward. That's it. That's what we have to do in the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes we have to step sideways to make room for other people to come in. Life in the kingdom of heaven is about preferring one another, preferring others above ourselves. Hiya! Now just begin right now with your eyes closed. Begin to start thinking about the lost. I want you to realize just how lost the lost really are. I want you to realize how much your Heavenly Daddy regards people. Women that are caught in prostitution, trapped in prostitution. He considers them His treasure. Men that are caught in prostitution, He considers them His treasure. Even human traffickers, God considers them His treasure. And His Son has made them worthy at the cross. Drug dealers, bullies at school. Those bullies that have bullied you, Jesus loves them. They're lost. They're lost. They're little coins. They don't know that they're lost. Your family, your brothers, your sisters, your uncles, your aunties, your grandparents, your moms and dads, cousins, best friends. Now just begin to see them really lost. And Holy Spirit, I ask you that you would come and baptize us right now with this, the anointing for reaching the lost. The anointing that was on the woman who gave herself no rest. She lit her lamp. She picked up her broom and she swept the whole house until she found that lost coin. And I'm asking you, Lord, for a mighty anointing of the Holy Spirit to fall upon this church and to fall upon your beloved people right here tonight, Lord, and make us tenacious, radical, radical shepherds that go after the lost sheep. Dads that go after the lost sons. Moms that go after the lost sons. Make us the most dangerous grandparents on the planet in Jesus' name. Make us the most dangerous brothers and sisters. God, give us courage. Give us courage and boldness, but give us sensitivity and loving hearts, God. Help us to always love the person more than ourselves, more than wanting to be right. Right now, I want you to begin to start lifting up your friends and families. People that you know that are in either of those three categories. Some of them are sheep, lambs. Some of them are like the lost boys, the lost sons. But some of them are like those lost coins. They can do nothing to help themselves. Just begin to lift up your voice to the Lord on their behalf right now. Just go for it. Go for it. Lift up your voices. Lift up your voices. Oh, Father, I ask you in Jesus' name, Lord, here I am. Send me to the lost coins. Send me to the lost coins. Light up my lamp bright, God. Let it shine in the darkness. Whoa. Teach me how to pray, Lord, for the lost coins. Teach me. Send me after the lost sheep and the lost lambs. Help me to learn to lift the difference, God. God, show me how to wait for the lost sons and daughters to come home. That's it. Lift up your voices. Lift up your voices. Each one. All right, I feel the Holy Spirit. Martin, a friend of mine, pastors a church about an hour and a half away from us. And he's one of my sons in the faith. And he was saying to me the other day while we were having lunch, he said, Duncan, I was praying and asking God for the harvest. And I was really praying and asking God, I ask you for the harvest.
And suddenly the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, you're praying the wrong thing. You're praying for the wrong thing. The harvest is all around you, white and ready to be reaped. It's everywhere around you. Don't pray for the harvest. I never asked you to pray for the harvest. I asked you to pray for workers to be sent into the harvest. Pray for workers to be sent into the harvest. And he said, Duncan, I started to change my prayer and I started to ask God that God would give us workers in the harvest field. And he said, people have started coming. Come. Because I believe there's a human dimension to that prayer. No doubt about it, that God's asking us to pray that he will send sons and daughters, human beings, into the harvest fields. But Jesus is quite clear in the scriptures that the harvesters are the angels. They're the angels. So there's also permission in that dimension to ask God that God will really, 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 really take you seriously, that you will really, really, really love the lost. In fact, you'll love them so well that he will entrust his mighty angels to be assigned to this church of Amazing Grace, so that he will send out mighty angels into the harvest fields to partner with you when you go after the lost sheep, the lost lambs, the lost coins, and the lost sons. And he will bring them home through you and the angels. So we're going to pray for a moment. I want everybody in the room, we're going to pray all together for just a minute. We're going to ask God for workers in the harvest field. Okay, go for it. Just begin to lift up your voices. Ask him for workers in the harvest field. Okay, awesome. Amen.
So let's just stay worshiping the Lord. You know, on a day of Pentecost, I mean, tonight it's really been about the Holy Spirit, but the reality is what Duncan's talking about is the truth. You know, there's only so many microphones, there's only one microphone and only one person can speak through it at a time, but there's 100 and 150 200 voices in this room who can speak to 1, 2 400, 600, 800 people. More than this microphone could ever reach. I mean, this microphone reaches to those windows and that's as far as it goes. But we go out to Tesco's, to highways, to byways, to shopping centres, to different places. But God goes with us. You know, I wrote these reserved seat things tonight and put them on the seats to hold the seats so people didn't take the seats, but there were as a reserved label for particular people in this room. But you know, on the day of Pentecost, God also had reserved tickets written for every single person in that upper room. However many heads were there, there was a reserved sticker over every single head, a reserved place for the Holy Spirit to come and fall as this flame of fire on every single head. Every head had a reserved sticker over it. Just as every head in this room has the same reserved over the top of it. You're not in this room by accident. We are all called to be witnesses of God. Witnesses to truth. But we have this reserved sign in the Holy Spirit. There's a flame, as Reinhard Bonnke always says, for every single head. So we're going to pray and we're going to thank God for our flame, for our anointing. Not Duncan's anointing, not Martin's anointing, not anybody else's anointing, but your anointing, your fire, your flame, what you need to be a witness. You know, the Holy Spirit is given for witness. And it tells us in Acts that afterwards, when they'd been persecuted, they came together and they prayed and they talked. And all the people that were against them, for truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed both. Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they'd prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. You know, my prayer, my cry, my heart is that every single person in this room will feel the weight of God, will leave this room and speak and declare and heal and deliver and do the things that we're equipped to do. Now, if you want a flame right now over your head, in your life, to consume you and send you so God can use you, then I'd like you to stand to your feet, because I think there's something of the Lord. And when you stood to your feet, if that's you, and if you want to sit down, that's fine. But if you want to go and make a difference to this generation, you want your flame, you stand to your feet. And God will use you. And then we're going to pray. Ian can worship, we'll pray. And I believe this is the word of the Lord he gave me today, is that the Holy Spirit is going to fall with power. And we're going to be equipped. And we're going to go. And we're going to be absolutely overwhelmed. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you now. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for who you are. God, we thank you for Ian's anointing. And we, Lord, we pray as he worships and as he sings, God, that your fire will fall on every head. Your flame will fall on every head, because you're the baptizer. And I pray, Lord, your word will come true. That you'll fall in power in this place. On every life. So we can go and speak boldly, confidently, and in power.
Just put your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you. Just begin to bless them. Pray for them. Thank you. Thank you for each other, Lord. We thank you for that beautiful word we've heard tonight. Thank you, Jesus, that you're the good shepherd. You love the lost and you love us. We're your little sheep, Lord. We're so delighted that you're our shepherd. We ask you to lift every one of us onto your shoulders right now. You would carry us through, Lord. You would speak, whisper into our hearts and ears. We thank you for Duncan and Kate. We thank you for everything they've brought tonight. Jesus, we love you. Holy Spirit, we love you. We receive from you. We thank you for your words, for your truth, for your power. We thank you so much, Lord. We receive from you tonight. We welcome your presence, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Shukarabarama Sarabaranda. Kurabasila Rabariare. You're so good, Lord. You're so kind. What an awesome God you are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Miracle working God. Hallelujah. Let's give a round of applause to the Lord Jesus. Let's give a round of applause to the Holy Spirit. Let's give a round of applause to our Father in heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We thank you from all of our hearts. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Lord. Give someone a big hug. Tell them that you love them. We've got some tea and coffee at the back. You're very welcome to that.
We'll do it tomorrow. It just didn't seem like there's any room to it. It just felt like just to go, you know. We'll do it tomorrow.